Welcome to Friday's edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live here on Giants.com. He is Jeff Beagles. I'm Lance Medel with you for the next 60 minutes. 201-939-4513. That is the telephone number. You could also chime in on the conversation via Twitter, hashtag Giants Chat. Well, first preseason game has finally arrived. We'll have some football tonight. Giants Steelers, 7 p.m. Eastern kickoff. The game will be on locally on WNBC. We'll also have our radio, Giants Radio Network pregame coverage starting at 6.05 p.m. Eastern on WCBS News Radio 880, so you can stay tuned for that. We're going to get into some of the big storylines to watch, some of the players to watch tonight. We'll get to your phone calls and your tweets as well. And, Jeff, we've been waiting for about 2 weeks, at least the players have, maybe not so much us, in terms of them having an opportunity to hit somebody else, go up against somebody else not wearing a Giants uniform. And while in previous years I think we've talked about the youth movement and some players to watch, I think what's intriguing about this first preseason game, Jeff, is a lot of competition across the board. Mm-hmm. Maybe not necessarily for starting jobs, but the depth of this team I think has drastically changed.
Yeah, we talked a little bit about each one of those positions. I think collectively when you look at the whole of the team, there's competition everywhere, but specifically at certain positions, the tight end position is one, the backup quarterback position, the kicking position, and the wide receivers. I mean, it's just as you go down, there's always somebody that seems to in line to get a roster spot somewhere. You'll see it again tonight. You won't see a lot of the number one guys playing this evening. This is a game that really the younger guys have a chance to come out and show you what you can do. If you've been paying attention to some of the other NFL preseason games, some of the questions are being answered on a daily basis now as far as other quarterbacks around the league. You know, Deshaun Watson last night.
Mitchell Trubisky.
You know, yes, they're playing against second and third team guys, but you can't discredit the performances that they're putting up. I mean, it's a good start. You want to see that same thing happen tonight for the Giants in their game against the Steelers.
Yeah, especially for the rookies, Evan Engram. We're going to have his first opportunity to go up against other competition, considering we expect him to have an integral role in this offense. And, you know, even a guy like Dalvin Tomlinson, who may not win the starting job next to Stacks, but also has an opportunity to make a statement tonight.
Absolutely. And I think that, you know, the team understands he's a young rookie and he understands that, you know, there's going to make some mistakes in games, but they want to get him some game reps. A lot of these players that have not played in the so-called SEC and some of the bigger conferences in college football are going to get their real taste of NFL football tonight and how the speed of the game is much different. I think as a rookie, that's the first thing they're going to understand and really see. They're going to be like, wow, on kickoff and kickoff return, these holes open and close very quickly. There's guys that can get to point A to point B a lot faster than I saw them before. More importantly, more so than the guys that play maybe one double A or whatever, you know, that kind of stuff. Not a lot of them on the roster, but, you know, so that's a big change. Today is a day where these guys are relaxing. They're at the hotel. They went to the hotel last night. They start that kind of a routine. So, you know, and that's nothing different to the players, because in college they do the same thing. You know, they're staying in a hotel the night before. But I think there's a lot of nervousness, right? Guys sitting in their rooms just a little, you know, kind of just can't. A lot of times I hated preseason because they're night games. They're all night games.
Around.
And you have to wait around all day. Particularly during the day. Well, you can watch golf all day. That would be a fun thing. But I think that a lot of guys are nervous. They'll be nervous about the game, kind of excited about the game. And it's really fun because I remember my rookie year and even some of the earlier years of my career as a family, your mother and your father and, you know, your brothers and sisters, you know, they've waited a long time to see some of these young men go out and play in an NFL uniform. Even though it is preseason, it's still an NFL game. So it's exciting for a lot of the guys and their families coming out to the Giants games tonight and things like that.
So,
yeah, so because, you know, listen, there are some of these guys that, you know, they're going to play in a few preseason games and they'll never, ever play a game ever again because they're just not that good to play. They're you know, they hope they can go on. But, you know, it's hard to make it in this league. It really is. And when you said earlier when we opened the show, there's not a lot of, like, you know, starting positions up for grabs. It's a lot of the second and third team guys that we're going to want to watch tonight.
And that's why those guys should be nervous, because they're in contention for a lot of those jobs.
Sure.
The fourth, fifth wide receiver, or perhaps if you're going to make the team as a fullback, maybe you're the fourth tight end. I mean, all of those things are up for grabs heading into this game.
And sure enough, we talked about it the last time you and I were on the show, is that, and Coach McAdoo yesterday reemphasized what we've been saying. If you're going to make this team, you better play special teams. So fair warning to the younger guys. He said it yesterday. You know, you better be able to stand out on special teams if you're going to make this roster. So once again, I know all the Giants guys watch our show every day.
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, so they're tuned in right now.
Priority
number
one.
I'm going to give a little bit of advice to those younger guys looking at me right now. Get into that special teams playbook and learn what you got to do, and then go out there and just ball out today. Just go and play and have fun. One thing, too, it is about having fun. It's about playing football. You're out there in training camp. You're sweating. You're going to practices. You're going to the meetings. You're lifting. You're running. You're doing all that stuff you have to do. Today's game day. Today's a day you go out and you play football and you have fun. It's all about preparation, Lance. It's all about how you prepare, knowing it. If you're prepared well, you can play well. If you don't know your plays and you don't know what you're supposed to do, that you're not going to be at the right place. You're not going to be where you're supposed to be. Your game is not going to be fun. You're going to be out of position. Your coaches are going to be yelling at you. You're going to get yanked out of the game. You're going to get benched. You're going to – and God, listen, a lot of things happen on game day. The worst is the day after.
Oh, well.
Because of meetings.
And the film.
Because the tape don't lie. It don't lie. So, I mean, if you have a bad game and you're going to go into that meeting the next day, normally you sit like this. That day you're like, oh, boy. Oh, no.
Depending, of course, how your performance went.
Yeah. Now, if your performance is good, you're like, yeah, man, this stuff is good. Watch this play. So
jumping off the table.
Exactly.
Let me ask you this, Jeff, because you have an intriguing view and an interesting view when you're in a preseason game, even as the punter, because you really see the entire special teams lineup. How many times have you been in a game, you see young guys, and you know these guys completely have no idea what the hell they're doing?
Many. Many. especially on kickoff. And on, you know, kickoff is the one you can, because they're running down so far away.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of anything going on yet. But then as you, because listen, the kickers and punter, we always had to be in the special teams meetings. So, and that included the kickoff return, the kickoff meetings.
All of them.
And, you know, and I, believe it or not, I paid attention to those things. I wanted to understand the special teams. And so I know the coverage. I know what the guy, the L5 or the L2 or the R3 or 4, what is supposed to do. And I'll be watching this guy specifically, and next thing you know, I'm like, what is he doing? He's not supposed to be, you know, because a lot of guys will go down, and then a couple guys will drop back and be the safeties or whatever. They mix it up a little bit. Well, this guy's going straight down the field when he's supposed to be hanging back, and it's just like, oh, boy, that's the next day in films. He's
it's one of the first things that's
not going to be good.
Yeah.
Not going to be good. So, and again, it's a learning experience. It's a total learning experience. They understand that's what happens in preseason games. But To better yourself and make the team, don't make mistakes. Learn your plays. If you're the R2 on the kickoff team, know what the R2 on the kickoff team is supposed to do. And know the other positions too. One thing that impresses coaches is if you are a player and that you have a certain position, you're a linebacker, you know, DB, whatever it is, and you're on a certain one of those big four they call the special teams, big four, the kickoff return, and punt return. If you understand your position and you know a couple of the other positions, that impresses coaches.
Because you could point guys in the right direction.
Or there's so many times this happens. Because remember I told you in our last show, this is a dress rehearsal. People don't know, they've never been on an NFL sideline before. And there's a lot of substitution errors that come in preseason games. So I'm a guy that I just kind of, I know a couple other positions. And they're yelling for a guy to come on the field, and I'm going. Even if I didn't know the position, I'm
You're
going.
Just going out there.
Because I'm not going to be the guy that sits there and waits. I mean, if they're waiting on a guy and they only have 10 guys in the field and they're waiting for somebody, well, that guy that's supposed to be on the field, that's not good. If I'm next there, I'm running on the field. If they're calling for me, I'm running on the field. Whether I know what I'm supposed to do or not, I'm still going to show the coaches and the staff I want to play. And most likely, you know, hopefully you can go out there and do a good job. And even if you don't, at least it shows the coaches that you care and that you're around and you're listening attentive to the game. A lot of times these preseason games, you see the guys screwing around on the sidelines and doing all that kind of stuff. You have to have fun at the game, but you're working now.
Competing for a job most cases.
You punched the clock, okay? You're now at work. You're not, you know, this
it's
isn't
not a
video games
party.
Anymore.
Yeah, something like that.
Go out and play and know what you know. Know your job and do your job well. There's a time to celebrate and there's a time to have fun and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, it's work. And you are auditioning and you're being evaluated. That's what we can see everything up at the press box. And, you know, in that press box, there's a lot of GMs. There's a lot of scouts. And, you know, the game may be on over here with their binoculars, but they're looking on the bench. They're looking at how guys are conducting themselves on the sidelines. You know, they're and so it's the number one preseason game is really kind of screwed up. There's a lot of things that happen. Guys aren't supposed to be where they are. If you get to the stadium early and watch, you know, the pregame and stuff, it's a joke. It may look good to you guys, but I'm telling you this, everybody screws it up the first game.
It's the experimental phase. Yeah, because everybody.
Yes, yeah, so what happens is because think about this. If we're gonna go out. Okay, guys, let's bring it up. All right, we're gonna go over the pregame. How we come out of the tunnel? How we line up for stretch? How we do pat and go? Blah blah blah. These guys aren't paying attention to this. And then all of a sudden, it's game day, and all right, here we go. Oh, wait, what am I supposed to do? You were supposed to be paying attention the other day. You didn't do it. So, I mean, now you're going to screw it up for everybody. So pay attention.
So you may get a few good laughs out of tonight's game,
you will.
Essentially, is what Jeff is alluding to.
Yeah. It's a great opportunity to watch, you know, the Steelers. They're going to be just like the Giants. They're not going to play a lot of their guys, and, you know, they're going to be evaluating. That's what this first preseason game is all about. It's your roster, your 90 guys, you know, minus the 22 or 23 guys that are most likely going to be your starters. The rest of them, you're going to see them play.
And speaking of playing time, we'll get into that in a little bit in terms of how the quarterback reps may be divvied up today, considering Ben McAdoo may follow the philosophy of last year's first preseason game when Eli Manning did not play. Let's open up the phone lines, 201-939-4513, #GiantsChat on Twitter. Ben is in Richmond, Virginia. He gets us going on Friday's edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live. What's happening, Ben?
Hello, Ben.
Good morning, guys. How are you guys doing today?
Doing well, Ben. What do you got for us?
Good. We're doing well. Dear.
Got a bold prediction.
Uh-oh.
I got a guarantee, and I want to talk a little bit about the preseason game tonight.
Sure.
First of all, I'm giving you a guarantee.
Oh.
Guarantee the Giants will not be very good on offense tonight. They'll be actually stink up the joint. And on Monday, Big Blue Kickoff Live will have at least 5 calls from somebody from the George Washington Bridge or the Brooklyn Bridge ready to jump.
Oh, boy.
Well, I hope it's not that extreme.
Happens every year. Happens every year.
Okay, but before, Ben, before we go to your next thing, we'll get to you, this stuff. I mean, just pump the brakes a little bit. It's the first preseason game, okay?
Right, that's what I'm saying. It happens every year. Every year the Giants are awful in that first preseason game. Happens every year.
So,
and every year everybody loses their mind.
Right, yeah. Yeah, just chill, everybody. It's you know,
this exactly.
These are glorified scrimmages.
Guaranteed.
Yes.
But you'll get the calls from there. I guarantee you.
These preseason games are like scrimmages. That's all they are. Then nobody cares if they win or lose. The coaches will always tell you, oh, we play to win, we play to win. You know, they don't.
I just don't understand why fans do not get that.
Well, it's their prerogative, and that's okay. So what else? Okay, so what is your bold? Was that your
– That was the bold prediction.
That was the bold – I don't know how bold that was.
That was a guarantee.
Well, that was a guarantee.
That was also partially a bold prediction, too.
Okay, that was a guarantee.
That was a guarantee.
We'll throw it under both categories.
The bold prediction is the Giants' defense will be top 5 this year in what I consider the major defensive categories. It will be top 5 in scoring defense, top 5 in run defense, top 5 in turnovers, and top 5 in third downs allowed.
Well, third downs allowed. What about points scored? They were pretty good at that last year, too.
Oh, yeah. Definitely said points scored first. But if they points scored, they'll be top 5 in points scored. Allowed. Points allowed. Yes, sir. So
okay.
Points allowed, run defense, turnovers, and third downs. They will be top 5.
See, that's why I classified your first statement, Ben, as a bold prediction, because to be honest with you, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if any of those things happened from a defensive perspective. They were top 10 in just about every category last season, so I could certainly see them hanging around or making even improvement in that category.
Oh, yeah. I definitely think they will. Hey, and just on the preseason tonight's game, for me, I would love to see them, number one, try to solidify who's going to be that backup quarterback. To me, I think it's Geno Smith's job to lose. I just don't see him losing out to Josh Johnson. If he does, I'd be really stunned. The other thing, I'd really like to see them really work on this running game during the preseason, try to establish, you know, how they're going to have their the rotation of backs and really try to just be physical with the running game, you know, try and get that going. You know, if they can get that going and really kind of establish a dominance in the running game, I think that will go a long way to where the season is going to go for us.
Well, it'll be interesting.
And it starts tonight.
All right. Thank you, Ben.
All right, Ben. Appreciate the phone call.
I think it'll be interesting tonight to look at the game plan and kind of figure out what the offensively their goals are tonight is how much they're going to run pass ratio. I agree with him. I think that tonight is a good night to look at the running game. I think that for two reasons. Number one, for the backs and also for the offensive linemen, the tight ends. Everybody's involved in blocking, receivers, the whole kitchen there. But I think that you're limited because Paul Perkins, you're not going to put Paul Perkins in there behind the second line. So you're going to see a lot of Wayne Gallman. You're going to see a lot of, I think you'll see a little bit of Darkwa because, these are the guys that are trying to get that backup position. I think all three of those guys are going to play all season. I think they're going to have a nice rotation.
Oh, so you think they'll rotate? You don't think maybe one guy in particular will
emerge? I think that Perkins will be the guy, but I think that there will be a nice peppering in of
roles for some of the
exactly,
other guys. That's
fair. Yeah. I don't think that, you're only going to see Perkins and the other guys are only going to be on special teams and they're Perkins is never coming off the field. I don't think that's the way it's going to be.
No, I would agree with you there. I could see Perkins as the main back, meaning
no,
I could see him getting, 15 to 18 carries a game, but they're going to sprinkle in Vereen because of what he can do on third down and passing situations. Darkwa, I could see him being used in some short goal line situations, and we'll see what type of a role Goldman is going to carve out. I think one of the things I'm watching for with respect to Goldman tonight, Jeff, is how much he's going to be able to adapt and contribute to special teams, because that's something he's going to have to do when you're the third or the fourth running back on the depth chart.
And I asked Tom Quinn about that a week or so ago. I asked him about Gallman and where he's going to fit on special teams, and he told me that he didn't know yet because he hasn't had a chance to. Special teams, practicing special teams without pads is completely different than practicing it with it. Hand position and just how you have to practice with pads on. Getting your hands underneath shoulder pads is a big – there's a lot of technique in a lot of the special teams things you do. Well, you can't do that when they're not in shoulder pads. Even when they're in T-shirts, you have nothing to grab onto.
You're not getting a feel correct. Yeah, no
leverage. If you want to grab the guy's armpits and start squeezing,
yeah,
but it's hard to get
more
under
power
there.
To you,
yeah. Some guys might be ticklish or something in there. But I think – so as far as we call it fits, and so I think that – that's something that's a great point. Look at that. Look at the way Gallman's going to play special teams, and then I think he'll kind of get an idea of how he's going to – he may be a gunner. He's shifty, kind of guy that can run on down. Punt return tonight, Travis Rudolph, probably going
to
get a shot at
guy to watch.
Catching some footballs tonight. And that's an interesting little battle that Darius Poe?
Powell.
Wow, why I say
Poe? A lot
Poe?
Of people call him Poe.
All right, well,
Poe,
if I'm
Powell,
not the
potato,
only one
potato,
calling
potato.
Him Poe.
No, you're not the only one, but it
all
is
right,
Powell.
There you go.
It is Powell. Like,
all right.
Think about Darius getting in a fight, and then maybe you'll never
Powell.
Forget. There you go. See?
All right. And
it's
Tavares King and Roger Lewis, these are the guys that kind of – they got to step in. And I think, in my opinion, Roger Lewis and Tavares King are two guys that are battling for a position. I don't think both of them will make the team, in my opinion. But I think that it's a good matchup to watch tonight. We won't, on our broadcast today, we won't be talking much about the Steelers because we really don't know much about them. We don't know,
and they're not going to have a lot of their notable players playing in this game.
That's what I'm saying. We barely know the Giants backups, let alone the Steelers, So it'll be interesting. Bottom line is nice to see, get to the game tonight, watch a real football game. The second half of a preseason number one game. And make sure you got some coffee. It is a little bit boring.
So you stay alert.
Yeah.
Make sure you have a roster card in front of you. I think that's always extremely helpful when watching the second half of a preseason game as well.
I'm not expecting 80,000 people. But there will be some Steelers people here tonight.
Sure.
They travel well. It's close to here.
Two historical franchises.
Yeah.
Well connected.
So it'll be good. It's going to be a nice night. Maybe a little bit of rain I saw on the forecast this morning, but who knows.
Well, you brought up Goldman on special teams, and one of the things I wanted to add to that was I think one of the surprises from last season, Jeff, was that Paul Perkins, when he was drafted, he barely played special teams because he was the main running back. But when Tom Quinn spoke to the media, he said over the course of the season, Perkins was actually one of the pleasant surprises on special teams. So the reason I'm bringing that up is Wayne Goldman, I'm not saying he's going to duplicate what Perkins did, but guys who played special teams could very well get more and more comfortable.
Absolutely. And you look at, you have with Perkins. Perkins missed the whole OTAs and everything because of his school.
Yeah.
Couldn't come here until he graduated. So, that's that kind of set him back, if you will, a little bit last year until he started to develop a little bit of a knack for the special teams and understanding how the special teams play. You know, we talk about it all the time. It's a third of the game, and people just kind of poo-poo it all the time. It's really an important aspect of the game, and these guys just don't want to learn the positions. And I keep trying to drive it home as they have to. And a guy like Wayne Gallman, if he wants to get a jersey, you know, as a third running back, he's got to play special teams.
Absolutely.
Or they might inactivate him every week.
He'll be a healthy scratch.
Exactly.
They've done that before.
Absolutely. I mean, so a couple years ago, when we look at the running back here from Boston College.
Andre Williams.
Another guy that, you know, he was kind of okay in special teams. You know, and then look what happens. They end up getting, you know, rid of him. So very important. But Wayne Gallman is a guy, he has a knack for the goal line. I'm hoping we get some green zone stuff for the Giants today. You know, that first team offense, the quarterback position, who do you think is going to start tonight? I think it's going to be Josh Johnson.
I would agree
opinion.
With you. I think they'll start with Josh Johnson. But I think Josh Johnson and Geno Smith will probably each get about a quarter and a half. I think they're going to not necessarily pull him out so quickly because while Davis Webb is going to play, Ben McAdoo said he will play.
Okay.
I don't think that Ben McAdoo is saying to himself that we need to maybe make sure Davis Webb gets an entire quarter. I think it's more important to evaluate Josh Johnson versus Geno Smith, and then if Webb could get like half the fourth quarter,
fine.
I think that's a step in the right direction.
Yep.
But I agree with you. I think Josh Johnson will be the first man up, and mainly because of the fact that he's the incumbent. He was with the team last year.
Right.
He knows the system. And this is the first opportunity. This is what a lot of people tend to forget, Jeff. Josh Johnson joined the team right before the start of the regular season. He was not here at all for the preseason.
Yep.
So he has not had reps in a game running the Giants system. He has leverage and an edge in terms of knowing the system, but he doesn't have a lot on film for the Giants coaching staff. This is an opportunity for him to do that.
At Geno Smith either.
Geno's the same thing, but Geno wasn't here last year.
Right.
So it's not as if he's trying to make up for lost time. It's more of Josh Johnson, who he was here, just didn't have the opportunity because Eli's been extremely durable.
And really, when you think of Geno Smith, when he got hurt last year,
In October.
In October, you know, he had played some games. So, but, you know, Josh Johnson, he hasn't played any games in a while. I mean, I think he has five or six starts to his starts, though. Okay, I think he's 0-6
as a
starter. Yeah. You know, by being on practice squad and this and that, I think he's been in the league for 11 years. And, you know, this is a guy that knows football, so that gives him a little bit of an advantage. And I think that you're right. I and maybe I'm right. I think that he's going to be the guy tonight and play a quarter and a half. That would probably make sense. You know, or maybe a quarter. You know, I don't know. Listen, the second game, they'll switch it up a little bit. So if one gets a little bit more playing time this week, then the next will get more next week. You know, so maybe they give a lot to Josh Johnson tonight and more of Geno Smith next week.
Depending on who they want to see a little bit more of, too. And remember, we're assuming that Eli is probably going to see time in games two and games three, at least, Jeff. So that
None
means that's going to cut in
yeah.
to the time that Josh Johnson and Geno Smith and even Davis Webb may see in the middle games. But you're right. They have the fourth preseason game, and they don't have to cut down the roster to 53 until after that fourth preseason
game. I also
game.
Think it would be fair. Of course, in football, a lot of things aren't fair. But I think you want to try to set up the competition as fair as you can. It's unfair to put Geno Smith in with the third team offense and evaluating him how he's doing against Josh Johnson playing against with the first team.
I think it's a good point.
So I think that, you know, as a coaching staff, you have to have that discussion. How are we going to get both these guys equal opportunities with personnel that's in the game that will help them? And it's because it's not fair. Or maybe you say, okay, by the way, Geno, you're going to go with the third teamers this game, and Josh, you're going to get the third teamers next week.
So we have
a little
comparable.
You know, yeah. So we'll see how that
Works. Because the talent around the quarterback is a big part of evaluating the quarterback.
Of course.
I mean, that's what you just hit on, Jeff. A lot of people tend to overlook that and think that the quarterback has just a snap of the fingers, and no matter who's in, he's got to do his thing. But you're right. If you're in with the third offensive line and they're not protecting you well and you're running for your life and Josh Johnson's in with the second offensive line or the first offensive line and he has 3 or 4 seconds to survey the field, it's not an even playing field in terms of evaluating the quarterback play.
And at that point in time, You look at personnel that's on the field, then you get into grading the game. You know, did he what mental errors was he making? Was he able to handle the huddle? Was he calling the plays? Was he doing his checks? those are certain aspects of the game that you can take away, even though the play hasn't started yet. Okay, there's an evaluation, because if it doesn't matter if it's the first or the third team at the line of scrimmage making your checks, making, you know, whatever you're doing, that can be evaluated either way. It doesn't matter which offense is in there. The quarterback position. Is he getting the play? Is he telling the play in the huddle? Is he getting up there? Is he recognizing the defense? Is he making calls here or that before the ball snapped? After that, it gets a little bit unfair.
So the pre-snap things you can evaluate regardless
There's
of the
no
personnel.
Question. Okay, I
That's
got a script.
A
Here's the plays. We gave you, you know, X, Y under, 2Z, whatever, blah, 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 blah. And they were in a, you know, a cover two or a cover three, whatever. Why did you check to this? I don't know. All right, that's
okay,
minus
that's,
one.
That's a negative for that play. Okay, and then we move on.
Or
to
on the other hand, yeah. Hey, you know what? They gave you cover two. The play didn't work. You checked out of it. You went to this. Great job. You know, that's plus one. So there you go. That's kind of how some things
reacting on the fly.
Yeah.
So those things, obviously, you can evaluate regardless of the personnel. It's just the fact that, you know, these two quarterbacks, also keep in mind, they're also going to be working with personnel. I'm talking about the receivers, Jeff, that they may have not had as many reps as with during practice, because Josh Johnson and Geno Smith have been moving back and forth between the second and the third units. But, you know, days where everybody practices and Eli's been in, Eli's getting most of the snaps with Beckham and Brandon Marshall.
Right.
It's not as if Josh Johnson and Geno Smith are having multiple opportunities with that. But with that being said, I don't anticipate Brandon Marshall and Odell Beckham getting a lot of time tonight anyway.
They're going to be throwing
correct.
To the guys they've been throwing to.
Exactly. They'll be able to throw and hook up with Travis Rudolph and some of these younger tight ends and Darius Powell, and they already have built some continuity and chemistry during the course of practice. All right, let's head back to the phone lines. A man that we are still working on building chemistry with
is Charlie. Hit the button.
Fort Levin.
Here we go.
You know what? I need you to do it. I refuse to do it. There you go.
I
refuse to play that on this program. That's all you.
Losing his mind.
Mr. Elmer.
He wasn't right in the hat.
Enough jokes.
I am happy.
You're a madman.
And here we go.
Here we go. Charlie in Portland, Maine.
Hey,
come on, Charlie. Come on.
Jeff.
I need it.
I need it. I thought you were going to destroy that button. Now, Lance, you had your chance.
Well, listen, give me time. It's still the preseason. I'm working out the kink.
He does not want any DNA on that button
whatsoever. Not at all.
Charlie, give me the box score. Come on. What happened?
Well, at least he fulfilled his promise
and
called in today.
Yes, I trust Charlie.
Got to give him credit for that.
Yeah. Come on.
I sent you some tweets on it, but Darby, Mr. Pepe Le Pew, was tied for the leading wide receiver in catches. He had three for 32 yards. He was second with the most yardage of the wide receivers. Actually, they put him in the second quarter. So they're taking a really good look at this guy, and he played really well.
Really?
So
all right. Okay.
Yeah.
Four targets, three catches.
Where are we here? Atlanta
right
receiving.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. Look
three
at that.
For
he is way up the line. 10.7 average. That's Pro Bowl numbers. That's Pro Bowl numbers.
16 yards.
Yep.
Hey, nobody else had any more than that. So
Reggie Davis was the leading receiver. But you're right. He was tied for the lead in terms of team receptions.
Yeah.
All right.
Exactly.
Hey, listen. Hey, that's good for him. I mean, listen, I'm not rooting against the guy. I'm just trying to tell you the reality of it. But that's a good start for that young man. It really is.
Yeah. I'm sure they'll probably give him some more reps, maybe with the ones next week or the week after, see what he can do. So he might be clinging on to that sixth spot there, Jeff.
Okay.
It's
going to be a race to the 53.
Hey, should I bring my own headphones, or do you guys supply them?
No, we will provide them for you.
Oh, look at Mr. Confident all of a sudden.
No, this like,
wow.
Listen.
What, three catches for Anthony Doble, and he's like on top of the
moon. I didn't ask if I have to bring my own utensils.
No,
I think you would provide them for me, too.
Are you going to provide a bib for Fiegel
so
that when he eats the lobster, it won't get messy? I mean, that's a fair counter question.
Yep, we will give you the worst
headphones. That comes with it.
We'll give you the worst headphones that are in the building.
We're going to give you the pair that we like threw away 3 days ago. We're going to bring it back out of the garbage can.
They'll work.
Yeah, they'll work. It may be a little static. Well. Yeah, you may get electrocuted, but they'll still be functional to some capacity.
Hey, Jeff, I also sent you some information on that Vickers 01 helmet, and they actually the players can use them. All 32 teams have have the access to it.
Okay.
And one of the good things about the helmet is it bends, so when they hit each other, you know, it doesn't, you know when they hit, you hear the big pop. Well, you're not going to hear that anymore because it bends, so you don't hear that bang anymore. So it's really good for concussion. And I hope Burhe and Robinson, whoever has been having some concussions, will actually use that helmet. It is available to them. All NFL teams have it, and I sent you some tweets on it.
I see
so
it here.
Check
yeah,
it out.
Right.
See if anybody's using it, Jeff.
All right. Well, you know. I like to stay as far away as I can from the equipment room.
Well, on a serious note, though.
Yeah, exactly.
On a serious note, connected to what Charlie just mentioned, when Nat Burhe met with the media, he was asked about, because I think his agent had tweeted out or something about they were looking into perhaps him wearing a different helmet this year. He couldn't comment
because
I think that there's still some discussions and dialogue. And don't take my exact word for it. I'm just trying to recall what some of the conversation was. He had alluded to this.
Right.
Nothing's official, but I think that's an interesting point you brought up, Charlie, that maybe a guy like Nat Burhe is looking into this and he may be wearing some type of a new helmet this season.
That's great. Hey, Jeff, I got one more question to let you guys go. Is like, do you think they should bring in a punter just because you got Brad Wing, like he's going to be punting the whole summer camp, every preseason game? Don't you think they should bring somebody in to save his leg a little bit? What do you think?
I think it's all right. I mean, they have the jugs machine out there they use at practice. For those that don't know what that is, it's like it's the football version of a pitching machine. It's able to shoot football. So, you know, that's the other guy at camp. I got beat out every year with that guy. I mean, that guy can kick a football.
The durability
of that guy is amazing. You plug that guy in, he can go all day, and he can hit 5-second punts.
I mean,
he's good.
Yeah.
He's really good. So I think that Brad will manage it pretty well. I remember there was years where I didn't have anybody in camp, and going into these preseason games, you know, I had to kick the whole game, and there was sometimes, you know, 9-10 punts in a preseason game. Because you're there with the third team offense. Third team offense just cannot make a first down. I mean, you're punting like 7 times in the fourth quarter. It's like, can we please go home? I mean, just go for it. Just what do we got to lose?
It's 4th and 22. Just
we've
go
already
for it.
Punted 16 times, and we need to punt one more time on fourth down in the fourth quarter. No.
Well, that's what I'm saying. They should have some guy
in there to be able to kick. Yeah, I think it's okay, though. I think that Brad would do a fine job. Just, you know, kickers and punters are a lot like pitchers. They're on pitch counts. You know, during the week, they really monitor how many kicks you have during practice. And then when you get that old, you turn in the card that says, oh, I'm sore. Soreness.
Soreness,
soreness
the new
today.
Phrase.
I'm out. Put me out.
Hey, I got one more thing. Is like, I can't understand the Giants thinking. Why are
you
they
never have. What's
going to
be different than that?
Why are they letting him go now? Why, you know, I know
why are they letting who go?
Injury.
Mikal Thompson.
Mikal Thompson.
And then you bring in this guy, Herman, who's another Cooper Taylor, 6'4", linebacker, flash safety from Purdue. I mean, why not just wait it out with this guy? He showed some flashes. You know,
he was injured.
A cornerback.
He's injured.
I just don't get why they're letting him go now.
Well, wasn't he waived injured?
He was. He has a quad injury, so he's been banged up.
But
he hasn't been practicing.
Yeah, but quad injury, that doesn't take long to heal.
Mr. Dr. Charlie in Portland, Maine. I didn't know you had the medical degree.
Give him Annika. He would be back on the field.
Of course.
Field.
I mean,
the fact
that the medical team's overlooking Annika, I mean, what's wrong with them? It's amazing. Well, I think Jeff brings up a good point, though, in all seriousness, Charlie. You're talking about a player that has struggled to stay on the field.
No question.
And there's a point where, remember, they're approaching the first preseason game. There's competition for the depth chart at safety. They need to have guys that are going to go out on the field that they can evaluate. And I think they got to the point where he's missing practice time during training camp. He's not in games. He's been on IR, that they want to explore other options. And don't overlook Herman. I'm not saying that he's going to make the team, but Herman's not a guy that they just plucked off the street. Herman was in rookie minicamp. Herman was with the team. This was a guy they already evaluated, and now they obviously invited him back.
Okay. At least they've seen him.
Oh, so that now changes the perspective.
I thought he was
Charlie's
like
seen the light
Jim,
now.
Yeah.
Jim Herman.
Yeah. No.
I thought he was the nephew of Jim Herman.
He might
so that's
be.
Why they brought him in.
I didn't look up the family tree, but I could tell you that he was in rookie minicamp, so there is a connection.
Yeah.
And that would make sense that you'd bring back a player that you're familiar with if you're going to cut somebody who maybe you want to see get another chance. But I think the durability and the health issues just added up at this point.
Now, can they bring him back when they waive him injured? Is that something this team can do, or only can he sign with another team, Thompson?
Well, the only way they can bring him back is that, remember we talked about this the other day, is there's a criteria for their injury. So a quad injury,
right.
there's a book, it's a table. A quad injury
right.
is diagnosed as X, and it says that it needs to heal in Y
four weeks.
So
right.
they can't bring him back before that, but I think once he's recovered from that thing, and then I think he's a free agent and he's able to.
He would become a free agent if they work out on a buyout. Because
correct.
Remember, Matt Lacoste had a similar issue where he was, I believe, waived injured. He then rejoined the team. They worked out a buyout. He went to the Jets briefly, if you recall, and then he wound up back with the Giants. So that would be
okay.
something that could happen down the road, but usually when you're waived injured, Jeff's right, they have to determine the severity of the injury, and then there's a time lot of how much time you would miss if you were to suffer that injury, and then they'd have to work out the specifics in terms of whether or not that guy wants to pursue free agency. So there's some financial
okay.
logistics and obviously some logistics with respect to the roster.
Good call, Charlie.
All right.
Thank you, buddy.
Okay,
have a great
guys.
Weekend.
Have
All right, Charlie.
Weekend.
Yep.
You got it. Appreciate the phone call. And, you know, part of the reason why those rules are in place is because then what happens is you could waive injured just about everybody, and then you could put them on the injured reserve list, keep them there, and
yeah.
hide them for the remainder of the season. So the reason why they prevent every team from doing that is because they don't want you to then have 15 guys that you know you can't keep on your 53. You sell them as they're hurt, and then you just store them, and then you hope you bring them back for the following season.
And on the flip side of it, it benefits the team by waiving them injured and getting the settlement for the X amount of weeks because they get a roster spot. Before, they had to hang on to this guy till he got well, and players are smart. When the old days, I got a quad injury. The easy one was the back. It's hard to diagnose a back injury, okay? X-rays, all that kind of stuff. My back's hurting today. Man, it's killing me. Well, we don't see anything. I know, but my back is killing me. I can't practice. All right. Then staff meeting. What is up with this Meadow guy? His back is killing him every single day. We can't cut him because he's hurt. So it's just they hang on. Now, hey, Meadow guy, back. Let's get him out of there. We'll settle with him, and then we're going to get a roster spot. So it helps both sides because, you know, really, you might have a miracle recovery in 2 days from now after we cut you. Then you can go play for another team.
Exactly.
But we're not going to have you around here and just milk this injury for, you know, 7-8 weeks while we have to carry the roster spot. So that kind of helps both sides.
Yeah, that's why there's those limitations and those rules and regulations in place.
And trust me, I've seen the milking station before. I mean, some of these guys have just been like, really? How is your toe hurting that bad that you can't play? And
yeah.
you have a – Yeah, that's a pretty bad ingrown toenail. Something's going on here, you know. and the players kind of know the writing's on the wall. You know, they know when they're going to get cut, and they just kind of milk it a little bit, get a couple more paychecks. And so a lot of tricks to the trade, my friend.
Well, you know what's interesting? It reminded me of, Jeff, a comment that Ben McAdoo made this week when he was asked about guys on the bubble.
Mm-hmm.
And he used an interesting phrase. He said, if you don't know you're on the bubble, then you're actually on the bubble.
I love
what
that.
He said.
That's
I thought that
good.
Was a really good line
yeah.
when he was
yeah.
talking to the media. I don't know which day he said it. He definitely said it this week if you want to go back and look
if
at the press conference.
If you don't know you're on the bubble, then you're on the bubble.
Yeah.
That's good. I really like that.
And
yeah.
there are a number of players on this roster that are certainly on the bubble, and I think that there's certain players that I would categorize as bubble players, Jeff, who have been here for maybe a season or two.
Yeah.
And now they realize, well, some more competitions come in, and I need to go out there and do something. And I think one guy that comes to mind, and I think this is a huge preseason for him, is Will Tye.
Well, you took the words out of my mouth. Yeah, I think that's the first name that came to mind. You know, the second name for me is probably, oh, boy, you know, a bubble player. Maybe Nat Burhe.
I think that's a good one.
You know, I mean, I think he's going to be okay.
But injuries.
But you never know. And, you know, so. And then if you look at, I think Roger Lewis is another guy that's on the bubble. I think that he's kind of a guy where he could go either way. You know, he had the reason he made the team last year because he had an incredible preseason. Then he goes out, and the one thing that hurts Roger Lewis is that he's not a great special teams player. He's, you know, he's okay, but he's not great. So, and the other bubble, maybe, you know, some of the linemen, I don't think there's too many bubble players in the linemen because they need all of those guys they can get.
About defensive end?
I was just going to go there. Like, I don't think that Kerry Wynn is on the bubble.
No, I wouldn't say him. I think maybe Ola
could be
on the bubble.
Yeah,
I don't think that's a stretch to say that he, because of the injuries and the competition that has come in.
And I think a guy who's been on the bubble for a long time that just never seems to get off that bubble is Mark Herzlich. I mean, he's on the bubble every year.
Yeah.
I mean, think about it. He's always a guy, and here's a classic example of a guy who has made a career out of playing special teams. And you know, he's a backup linebacker, can fill in a pinch when something happens, his starter goes down, but the guy just plays his butt off at special teams. And when it comes down to putting the roster together at the end of the year, lo and behold, there's Herzlich. We got to keep him because we don't have anybody else that can play special teams like he does. So a lot of these younger guys should look at that example. So, you know, that's a little different bubble situation, but he's been on the bubble every year. We talk about linebackers. Oh, he's gone. Herzlich's gone. You know, now he's just doing what the team's asking him to do. Hey, can you want to play some tight end? Yeah, why not? You want to change your number? Sure. What? Whatever you want me to do. Want me to take a pay cut? Yeah, I'll do that too.
Well, because as you mentioned, he has the mindset, Jeff, that the more I could do, then the more valuable I am. So now Mark Herzlich is going to finish up camp before they make it down to 53, and he will be showing film at tight end, he will be showing film at linebacker, and he will be showing film on special teams. So we're talking about he's contributing on all three facets of this team. When they're weighing, do we keep this linebacker? Do we keep that linebacker? Well, this other linebacker, he can't play offense, and he's a so-so special teams player. That's how Mark Herzlich, I think, moves up the ladder in those conversations.
Giants like those two-way players.
Nikita Whitlock is another one that comes to mind.
Yeah.
He played fullback, and defensive line. So anybody who can contribute in multiple facets is certainly valuable.
And follow me here. So you're thinking the thinking behind Herzlich at tight end is why. Okay, you've got Adams, you've got Lacoste, you've got Ingram, you've got all these tight ends. So why would we be so fascinated with him? The reason is this. There's days when Mark Herzlich is going to have a jersey in his locker on Sunday because he's the backup linebacker and he's a special team standout. What happens when we have to inactivate two of our tight ends? For some reason, they're hurt. Now we've worked in a guy like Herzlich, who's hasn't played the position, but he's practiced it, that could get us through a game if we need him. So there's always about injuries, so that helps his cause, big time, helps his cause. I mean, so good for him. I mean, some other guys may want to, you know, think about playing other positions. Can we see Eli maybe at, you know, defensive end? You know, something like that. I don't know.
Well, we were talking the other day about Jacob Huseman, the fullback. He converted from quarterback.
Yeah.
So, listen, if that inspires some of the other quarterbacks on this roster, maybe they'll experiment a little.
I was thinking about those numbers the other day, and I went out to practice, and I specifically wanted to just watch him. He is not a big dude. I mean, like a tall guy.
Not a tall guy. He certainly has a presence, but
he does not look like a quarterback. There is no. If you lined the guys up in a lineup and said, these are all quarterbacks, which one do you think doesn't look like that guy? And then all of a sudden it would be like, well, by the way, that guy has 47 touchdowns thrown, blah, 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 blah.
He's got
You'd
an
be like,
resume.
There's no
yeah.
way. So what are you doing here? I'm playing fullback. Oh, okay. Now who looks like a fullback? That guy.
Well, it's the old lesson. Looks can be deceiving.
Yeah, there's no question
with respect
there.
To Jacob Huseman.
But I was watching him, and I just, you know, I had somebody out at practice with me the other day, and I said, see the guy over there? Can you believe that Chattanooga State, right?
Tennessee Chattanooga, right?
Tennessee.
Or maybe it was Chattanooga State. Hold on.
The guy was a quarterback and had, like, you know, 4,000 yards rushing, passing.
Yeah, Tennessee Chattanooga.
So they're like, what? I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, put up monster numbers. Runner, thrower, you name it. Did a little bit of everything.
But versatility at this level means a lot, and it can really help a younger guy play, you know, make the team. And the versatility here is we've said it a million times, and we keep being redundancy at its best here, is the fact that, hey, dude, play special teams, learn your positions, and go out there and show the team that you can do it. It's the best way that you can get on that 53-man roster.
201-939-4513. That is the telephone number. Hashtag Giants Chats. We are fielding phone calls. We're going to get to some of your tweets as well. Setting the stage for the first preseason game tonight. Giants Steelers, an opportunity to continue to evaluate this 90-man roster. We've been talking about players on the bubble to watch tonight. We've been talking about some of the position competitions to watch. We've been talking about how maybe some of the quarterback reps will be divvied up. If you want to weigh in on any of those topics, feel free to give us a ring. The other thing that we haven't really focused on much, Jeff, and you know, I would agree with you, I don't think there's many players on the bubble at this position, but the offensive line, and it's been a huge storyline over the last few years. But you know, a lot of people are wondering, will somebody push a member of this starting unit for a job? And the one player that obviously comes to mind is DJ Fluker. And Fluker, he was described, as Ben McAdoo, as a right side offensive lineman. Okay. Who got reps at right guard and right tackle. Then we started to see him move into left guard over the last week. So he's played three positions throughout training camp thus far. We'll see where he gets allotted time tonight. I think that's question number one. And then question number two is, you know, does he flash? And does he make a statement? Now, maybe it's difficult for an offensive lineman to flash, but I guess, does he seem to be doing the right things? Does he seem to be winning the battles? And maybe are they effective in the running game when he's on the field? I mean, those are things that he can at least answer tonight, assuming he gets some opportunities.
I think he'll play multiple positions tonight. And I think a lot of guys will play multiple positions, okay? You know, the backup guys. So you got to find that swing tackle. You got to find that guy that can play, you know, multiple positions. They know that Fluker has played right and left side of the offensive line. So I think to answer your question, I think you'll see him play majority of the right side. Okay. Why he was over on the left side at left guard, I don't know. Maybe it was Pugh, you know, out of the lineup with something, or did Pugh go to right tackle, or, you know, these guys all, they're interchangeable.
Well, and they've been doing that throughout camp too.
And they always, all teams do it.
Yeah. And you need to do it.
You have to do it because, like we were saying earlier, the versatility, you know, an offensive lineman who can play is asked to play multiple positions and can do it well is an asset to that team. If I got a guy that's in here that's a center, but he can't play guard, then you're really not going to do me any good. You know, I need you to learn the positions. You don't have to learn them to be, you know, an all pro at them, but you have to understand about assignment. You have to understand about responsibilities and what your job is at a right or a right guard opposed to a center, you know, or right tackle, left tackle. So that, yeah, you'll see a bunch of guys in there. It's interesting where Adam Gattis is going to fit in this kind of, you know, he's kind of just been a journeyman backup guy, and this has been, before you know it, how many years he's been with the Giants now. But three or four years.
It's his fifth year in the NFL.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's kind of, it's, you know, he's just one of those guys that just, you know, is a backup. But he does well when he gets in there, and that's about all he could do. So we'll see. You're going to see Biz play. You're going to see Wheeler play.
Somebody I was going to name. Those two, I think, are players to watch tonight as well.
And I think they're, you know, just in the last week and a half, I think the arrow has gone up a little bit with Wheeler. And there's been some discussion in practice, you know, that now he's taking first-team reps away from Flowers, this and that. You know, I just caution everybody at this point in time when you're watching practices or you're reading the media and this and that. This is all about getting your team ready for September and getting to the evaluation process. You have to understand they're going to make some changes, but let's not freak out about it, okay? And that's the difference between 20 years ago and today. 20 years ago, they were making the same changes in practices, but we didn't have the social media. We didn't have people out there reporting on it all the time. Now everybody's just, oh, my God, Eric Flowers, Wheeler's in, send up the Floons. Oh, my God, what's going on here? How about, okay, let's get him some reps with Pugh at left tackle in case Flowers got hurt. Let him play along, you know, with Pew. And so relax, okay?
Can't read into everything.
You can't read into everything. Now, I'm not telling you that Eric Flowers couldn't lose his job, just like any other player could lose their job in the NFL. Okay, but you know, he's the starting left tackle, and if this guy's pushing him, and you know, maybe 2-3 weeks into the season, can it happen? Yeah, it can happen. Listen, they came out in the offseason last year and said, hey, you dude, you got to play better. Ereck Flowers, play better. We're going to go try to find somebody that can play better if you don't. And they've got an undrafted free agent here, which there was something that other teams didn't see that the Giants have seen. But, you know, when you go undrafted in the NFL, you know, there's some things that didn't get you in the draft. So he's been told about those, and you kind of – you improve on those, and then maybe you get a starting position one day. But just chill, Lance.
Yeah, I agree with you, Jeff. I think well said. You brought up a very important point. I think there's a lot of overreaction because of the play-by-play analysis that we get in today's NFL with respect to camp. And, you know, the other thing to really continue to tell the full story, Wheeler did get some reps with the first team. And on the very first play, Olivier Vernon made sure that he greeted Chad Wheeler accordingly. And then when Ben McAdoo was asked, what did you think of Wheeler's performance with the first team? He goes, well, on the very first play, he got his drum banged, is what I'm paraphrasing in terms of what the terminology that Ben McAdoo utilized.
Yeah.
He regrouped and recovered and adjusted.
I read that quote. I said he got beat like a drum.
Maybe beat by a drum. Okay. Like I said, I paraphrased.
And there's your difference. Okay, is Ereck Flowers getting beat like a drum? You know, from a not every play, but Ereck Flowers has started for 2 years in this league, and you know, so there is some separation. Trust me in those two guys, but you like to develop. Hey, let's see what this guy can do. He's a big dude, and Biz the same thing. You know, he's a guy that's a draft pick, and he's gonna play a lot. Those two guys will play a lot this game.
And for Biz, I mean, he even talked about this, not that this is necessarily going to elevate his play, and maybe it does, but, you know, he's a Pittsburgh native. He grew up rooting for the Steelers. What better way to go out there and make a statement than do it against a team that you were connected to? I think that is an interesting storyline to watch that is attached to this preseason game. But they've got to get these offensive linemen an opportunity to get their feet wet. And the only way you do that is during the course of a preseason game.
And the only way you're really able to evaluate a player at its entirety is game situation. You know, practice is practice, but practice in today's game is not as violent and physical as it is. You know, it's physical. Don't get me wrong now. I'm telling you right now, these guys are, you know, this isn't powder puff football out of practice. But the fact is that, you know, these guys are going in practice, they're going on the whistle. So it's maybe 1001, 1002 whistle. In a game, a play could last 5, 6, 7 seconds. Okay, you're getting the whole view of the play, how he reacts on a pass play. Okay, here's his sets. The ball is gone. Okay, maybe it's to a running back. Now where's his blocking? Is he getting up and getting to the next guy? Is it, you know, this and that? So you don't get to see a lot of that in practice because it's live, but it's only, you know, 75-80%. This is full tilt now.
Well, and the other thing is during practice, when Flowers is going up against Vernon, and they talked about this, Flowers could go to Vernon, what did you do on the last play? What did I do wrong that I need to adjust? He's not going to be talking to the defensive lineman on the Steelers, and he's not going to necessarily be sharing.
You know what? That brings something there. I know we're almost ending the show, but I don't know if you guys had talked about this, but I read about it. I haven't had a chance to talk to any of the coaches about it, but I thought it was an amazing, amazing idea that Coach McAdoo has done. It's called the cross coaching. Have you heard what he's been? So basically, Coach McAdoo has said, you know, why don't we take our players at a defensive back position, okay, and take them and have them work for a little bit with the receiver coach and have the receivers work with the defensive back coaches and get their ideas of how they coach each
different
other.
Perspective.
From cross-coaching.
And how
am I going to look at you when I game plan you as a receiver? Okay, so the receivers are in the defensive back meeting room now with the defensive back coach, and the defensive back coach is telling these guys, let's watch film. Now, this is what I'm looking at as far as game planning. I'm saying, you know what, this is what we're looking, your keys and da-da-da-da, vice versa. The defensive backs are in the receiver room, and the receiver coach is saying, you know what, we watch you. This is your tendency. You don't get deep enough on cover two or whatever it is. So this cross coaching is being able to help each other be able to prepare and to how to watch film and evaluate the opponent. Amazing to me.
No, I think that's a great idea because it always helps to see, first of all, a coach that's in-house, how he views a player at a different position, considering the defensive backs coach is watching his own DBs go up against the wide receivers every day.
Every day.
He might as well share, hey, you know what, Brandon Marshall, when you run this route, this is your tendency, like you said, sure. And this is a giveaway to a defensive back. Maybe you should be more aware of that.
And, you know, the defensive line was with the offensive line coach and vice versa. And I think the quarterbacks went with the safeties. I don't know what where the linebackers went.
I would think the linebackers are the tight ends
maybe. Yeah.
That would probably make the most
like
sense
that.
If that was
too.
A match. Yeah.
So I thought it was an interesting read. And, you know, if you want to go search it. But it was I think it was a great idea. And it was very positive. They said that it turned out to be really, really a good thing.
Yeah, if I'm a veteran or if I'm a rookie, I mean, I think there's a lot you could get out of that.
Absolutely. I wonder what Coach McAdoo went to. Like, does he go, like, does he, like, is there somebody to evaluate
him? Who does
him?
He?
Yeah, like, what, you're a head coach, so does Jerry. Does he go meet with Jerry and say, this is how I look at you?
to swap ideas?
Yeah.
I don't know. You'd have to ask the coaching staff whether or not he falls into that category.
Yeah,
I'm sure he makes his presence felt in
who
the
Who was going to Coach McAdoo?
As they do the different switches.
So, that's interesting. So, but it'll be a fun night tonight. There's going to be a lot of players. Make sure you get your roster card here.
That's a key one.
This is Lance and I's. Of course, I always have to have eyes to read this stuff. It's ridiculous. I mean, seriously?
Well, there's 90.
Come on.
Usually, you have to only worry about 53.
That's
the biggest difference for a preseason game.
Now, I know we're kind of like this is a flip card, and we get them for the games, and they've got the Giants offense, Steelers defense, and vice versa. It makes it a lot easier for us to follow the game when we watch it up in, 5 miles high up in the stadium. It's unbelievable.
Easy to identify players, especially the obscure ones, even on the opposing team, who you may be unfamiliar with or you may not be watching on a daily basis. Also important to note, there are a number of injuries for the Giants, and I would be very surprised if any of these guys get into the game. So don't be surprised if you don't see the following. Linebacker Keenan Robinson is still in concussion protocol. Highly unlikely he'll be out there. Defensive tackle Robert Thomas soreness, Jeff Fiegel's favorite term. Linebacker Mark Herzlick, who we were talking about, he's dealing with a stinger. Safety, Ryan Murphy, lower body. Wide receivers, Tavares King, ankle. Kevin Snead, lower body. All of them have recently missed practices at camp. Then keep in mind, Sterling Shepard, he did one-on-ones in their most recent practice on Wednesday. But, once again, would not surprise me if they hold him back.
Sure.
And then you have to take into consideration the starters. I mean, there's a good chance Eli probably won't get out there. Odell Beckham, if you recall, Jeff, I went back and I looked. They played the Dolphins last preseason. That was that weather delay where the game didn't kick off until an hour later because of thunderstorms. So Beckham was going to play, and then because of the delay, they said, you know what, just stay on the sideline. So maybe Beckham does get a snap or two. That would not,
okay,
I think, surprise anybody, but I think Eli would be the surprise. I think if Ben McAdoo is going to follow a very similar philosophy, I would think he wants to see the three other quarterbacks today.
What do you think about Vernon and JPP? Are they playing tonight?
That's a good question. I mean, JPP coming back from the injury, do you want to maybe see him in game action?
I don't.
I think that perhaps they may hold those guys back.
I don't want to see any of those guys. I really don't.
I don't think it's a huge necessity. And once again, there's a lot of defensive ends here on the depth chart that I think deserve some additional looks, such as a Romeo Okwara, a Kerry Wynn, a double O. And they may say, you know what, this is the type of game we want to play all of these young guys, and then we'll hold them back for the second and the third game.
And you know, every team is different. Every year is different. And really the philosophy coming into a preseason game is always changing. When you're an 11-5 team that's bringing back, 20 to 22 starters on your team, there's a little bit of different motivation here. Opposed to if you're the Cleveland Browns and you're trying to evaluate your whole team, you're going to be playing guys more and more. So I think it's a philosophy of the coach, the organization on how these games are put together and who's going to play. We can guess all we want, but we'll never know. I mean, we're not in the meeting tonight when they're going over the playing time for these guys. I mean, honestly, these guys just got the game plan probably last night when they went to the hotel. There's very, very minimal game planning that goes into these preseason games. It'll be very vanilla. You're not going to see anything, tricky. You're not going to see anything that's going to give away the farm as far as preparing for the Cowboys. You're just not going to see it from both teams.
And there's no reason to do that. It's the first preseason game.
It's a scrimmage.
Yeah, you want to evaluate the players. You're not evaluating your playbook at this point. You have plenty of other preseason games to do that before they get set for the start of the regular season. All right, well, that's going to wrap up the latest edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live. We'll be up and running again next week starting at 10 a.m. Eastern. Monday's program will obviously focus on recapping tonight's preseason game. So as I mentioned, kickoff is just after 7 p.m. Eastern. It'll be on locally in the New York market on television, WNBC. I believe it's also going to be nationally on NFL Network, so no matter what market you're in, you should be able to see it. We're also going to have Giants Radio Network coverage, our pregame show to set the scene.
Best pregame show in the world.
Without a doubt. That starts at 6.05 p.m. Eastern on WCBS News Radio, 8:80 a.m. in the New York metropolitan area, and then we'll have a full postgame show that will run an hour following the game also on WCBS, so we hope that you'll tune in on that end as well. You can stay locked to Giants.com for all coverage throughout the course of the game as well as over the course of the weekend. They're going to have off on Saturday, and then the team will resume practice on Sunday, and then they'll carry that schedule out throughout the course of next week, just to give you an idea.
Not very many open practices left. So,
Before you know it, camp's going to wind down too.
Right. I think I think there may be one or two other days coming up that the Giants will have open practices. After that, they're shutting it down. Not the team, but they're open practices.
Open practices, and that's what's happened in previous preseasons and training camps too. So it's really no different.
You can go to Giants.com and look under schedule. You'll see the days for training camp is still available. Make sure you always check that before you come out in case if it's raining, they don't practice outside.
Yes, so check Mother Nature as well. With that being said, appreciate everybody for tuning in. Thanks for the phone calls. Thanks for the tweets. For Jeff Eagles, I'm Lance Meadow. We'll speak to you later
tonight.
Have
a good weekend.
Have a good one.